That liquids ban on airliners is there for a reason. The Civil Air Patrol suspends its national commander, and the Dreamliner's engine gets its certificate. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, August 8, 2007. U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff says terrorists who sought to bring down a British airliner with gel-based explosives were thwarted only with more than a little luck. In an exclusive interview with ABC News, Chertoff said, quote, "I think that the plot, in terms of its intent, was looking at devastation on a scale that would have rivaled 9/11. If they had succeeded in bringing liquid explosives on 7 or 8 aircraft, there could have been thousands of lives lost and an enormous economic impact with devastating consequences for international air travel," unquote. As ANN reported, authorities in the UK tipped officials in the US about the plot, which involved smuggling chemicals on board airliners in sport drink bottles and other containers on August 10th of last year. The chemicals would have then been mixed on board the planes and used to blow them up on flights to the US. A total ban on liquids resulted. It was later eased to the current 3-ounce rule. Officials captured 24 British-born Muslim suspects and 7 Pakistanis in connection with that plot. Chertoff implied current restrictions will likely remain in place for some time to come and suggested that the inconvenience is justified. The U.S. Civil Air Patrol Board of Governors has suspended the CAP National Commander, Major General Antonio J. Pineda, for a period of up to 180 days, including prohibiting contact with any other CAP members. An investigation was conducted after allegations were made that a CAP Florida Wing member took the U.S. Air Force Air Command and Staff College tests for Pineda in 2002 and 2003. CAP senior members are allowed to enroll in Air Force professional development courses to strengthen their knowledge of the U.S. Air Force. Before becoming National Commander, Pineda held the positions of Florida Wing Commander and Southeast Region Commander for the organization. He's a retired agent of the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. CAP National Headquarters will release the Board of Governors' final decision regarding Pineda when that information is available. The Rolls-Royce Trent 1000, the launch engine for the Boeing 787 Dreamliner, has received its airworthiness certificate on schedule, just 18 months after the engine's first ground run. The occasion was marked on Tuesday, which in the European Convention for Dates is called 7807, with a special ceremony at Rolls-Royce in Derby in the UK, at which the European Aviation Safety Agency handed over the engine's airworthiness certificate. That clears the Trent 1000 to power the Dreamliner's first flight later this year. The Trent 1000 also received FAA certification at the same time. That makes it the first engine to be validated concurrently by ESA and the FAA under the latest regulatory procedures. Including business yet to be announced, orders have been placed for over 500 Trent 1000 engines by 15 operators and 5 leasing companies. That's approximately half the Boeing 787 customers who've made an engine decision. The Dreamliner's first flight is expected sometime before the end of September. Cessna Aircraft Company tells ANN the plane maker has reached another milestone in the development program for the latest version of the Evergreen Citation family. The Citation XLS Plus completed its first flight, lasting 90 minutes, at Rockwell Collins facility in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Cessna Citation XLS Plus program manager Kevin Steinert reports, quote, "The integration of the new Collins ProLine 21 and Pratt & Whitney's FADEC-equipped engines went smoothly, and we look forward to continuing this program on schedule," unquote. The XLS Plus is designed to travel at 440 knots true, have a range of more than 1,800 nautical miles, climb to 45,000 feet in 29 minutes, and land on runways as short as 2,700 feet at its typical landing weight. Type certification is expected in the first quarter of 2008, with first deliveries by mid-year at about $11.6 million per copy. Up next on ANN, DayJet secures financing for its fleet. Virgin America makes its first flight. And remembering Hal Fishman. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 8th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The aviation and journalism communities have lost an accomplished member. Hal Fishman, a world record-holding pilot, an award-winning newscaster, and mainstay on TV in the Los Angeles, California area for almost 50 years, passed away Tuesday morning at the age of 75. Fishman was well-known throughout the world. He shared in 12 airspeed and altitude world records, serving as a crew member on board various jets flown by Clay Lacy. He also reported news stories from the cockpit of his personal aircraft, according to the LA Times. Interviewed by filmmaker Brian Terwilliger for the aviation documentary One Six Right, Fishman described how aviation called to him at a young age at Van Nuys Airport. Quote, "As a little kid, my hands up against that fence, looking out and watching the planes, and nagging my mother to let me go up in an airplane," unquote. In 1990, Fishman spoke with the LA Times about his long broadcast career. Quote, "When I think of the hundreds of anchors who have come and gone over the last 30 years, many of them better looking and better coiffed than I was, there was one area that they were not better, and that is in being dedicated to being informed. I am not a charismatic broadcaster or a dramatic guy, but I think I am a person that people can trust to give them a straightforward and accurate account of what's going on in the world. I think that's why I've lasted so long," unquote. Fishman started in TV in 1960. He anchored the 10 p.m. news on KTLA 5 since 1975, also serving as managing editor and commentator. Fishman anchored his last newscast on KTLA July 30th. He was hospitalized August 1st with a serious infection after collapsing at his home. Last Friday, KTLA announced doctors had found evidence of colon cancer, which had spread to his lungs. In addition to appearing in several movies, Fishman also authored two novels, Flight 902 is Down and The Vatican Target. He co-wrote the latter with fellow aviator and safety advocate Barry Schiff. Fishman is survived by his wife Noli and a son named David. Most of us would not celebrate a $140 million debt, but it's just what DayJet Corporation had been looking for. The money will fund the acquisition of DayJet's fleet of Eclipse 500 very light jets. The facilities include senior debt on the aircraft and financing of pre-delivery deposits. Combined with previous rounds of private equity financing, DayJet has now raised more than $200 million. That places it among the best capitalized pre-operational passenger air carriers in American aviation history. DayJet's per-seat on-demand jet service is tailored to each customer's individual schedule and priced starting at a modest premium over full-fare coach airline fares. Headquartered in Boca Raton, Florida, DayJet says it has developed this new industry's first real-time operation system. Following years of preparation, legal wranglings, and oddball marketing gimmicks, new low-cost carrier Virgin America will take off Wednesday on its first flight from New York to California. And as is the case with many endeavors undertaken by Sir Richard Branson's Virgin label, it'll be a flamboyant affair, complete with red carpet introductions for Branson and Virgin America CEO Fred Reed, a DJ spinning music, and Comedy Central satirist Stephen Colbert. The airline will also hype its in-flight amenities, including onboard entertainment, complete with downloadable music and movies, self-service minibars, onboard flight tracking, thanks to Google Maps, and even music in the labs. First-class passengers will be treated to white leather seats, complete with massage function and mood lighting. Ed Perkins, a contributing editor at SmarterTravel.com, tells CNN Money, quote, Richard Branson has shown a flair for promotion that's hard for anybody to match. These guys are very, very good, and that matters in a market where there isn't much product differentiation, unquote. Using a fleet of Airbus A319s and larger A320s, Virgin America will initially fly between Los Angeles and San Francisco for $44. First class starts at $149, and from those cities to Washington, D.C. and back for as little as $129 to start. Those fares will rise shortly, Reed says, and exit rolls will cost more. The airline hopes to fly to as many as 30 cities within 5 years. When it comes to selecting new aerial refueling tankers, the U.S. Air Force will pick a favorite, not split the lucrative KCX contract between Boeing and Eads. Sue Payton, who's head of acquisitions for the U.S. Air Force, told the Financial Times that splitting the deal would be too costly at a time when the service is having to keep a close eye on its budgets. Quote, because we're trying to do so much, we don't have the money up front that it would take to carry two or three through development and then into procurement, unquote. The Air Force is slated to announce later this year whether it will award the contract to Boeing's KC-767 or the KC-30 offered by Eads and Northrop Grumman. The KC-767 is cheaper, though smaller. The KC-30 offers more cargo room and fuel capacity, features not requested by the Air Force, and it also costs more. The Air Force is expected to follow its initial 80-plane order with a second order for 99 more planes, as it replaces its fleet of aging KC-135 air tankers. Still ahead, Endeavour is a go for launch Wednesday evening. Manslaughter charges are refiled against a pilot in Oklahoma. And guess how many pilot briefings were given at Oshkosh? You're listening to Aero News.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 350 and 400 are now available with either an Abadine or Garmin electronic cockpit. The new Garmin G1000 equipped Columbia 350 and 400 have just been introduced with the new ReadyPad. While the G1000 panel integrates all navigation and flight instruments into two high-resolution screens, incorporating GPS, nav, comm, autopilot, transponder, and flight director into one easy-to-use package. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144 or check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
Hey, this is Tom Gresham. You know, I am an aviation nut. I just love to fly airplanes. That's why I started a brand new TV series called Wings to Adventure. It's on the Outdoor Channel. Now, if you don't get the Outdoor Channel, be sure to call your cable system and tell them you want to see this thing, because we show airplanes in high definition. It is seriously cool. For more information, be sure to go to our website. It's wingstoadventure.com. That's wingstoadventure.com. We're on 3 times a week on the Outdoor Channel, so be sure to join us.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, August 8, 2007. I'm Paul Plagg. NASA's mission management team gave its thumbs up Monday for the shuttle Endeavour's Wednesday launch, saying the shuttle is in good shape and on target for its first flight since late 2002. Space Shuttle Program Manager Wayne Hale says he was proud of his team for solving the last-minute problems. Even the weather looks good, with only a 30% chance that isolated showers or anvil clouds could prevent a launch. STS-118 will be the 22nd flight to the International Space Station, and the first space flight for mission specialist Barbara Morgan, the teacher-turned-astronaut who was Krista McAuliffe's alternate for the ill-fated 1986 Challenger flight. Citing new evidence in the recently released NTSB probable cause report on an Oklahoma airplane accident last December, the state now plans to refile manslaughter charges against pilot Thomas Brent Caldwell in connection with the deaths of his three passengers. The men were trapped when their Belanca Viking lost power and went down in Grand Lake east of Tulsa, Oklahoma, Caldwell escaped and swam to shore. As ANN reported, manslaughter charges against Caldwell were dropped in May after District Judge Robert Haney found no evidence of a crime. Police had said Caldwell was intoxicated when they found him, and prosecutors left open the possibility the charges would be refiled. The NTSB's final report found, quote, no pre-impact anomalies with the aircraft or its engine. The report goes on to state that Caldwell's improper decision to lower the Viking's landing gear before the water landing contributed to the crash and noted the odor of alcohol and slurred speech reported by police. Caldwell told police he drank two margaritas about 2 hours before the accident. The NTSB says five liquor bottles, four of them opened, were found inside the plane. Caldwell also declined to submit his pilot logbook for examination. That might be because FAA records indicate that Caldwell has never held a private pilot or student pilot certificate. Representatives with Lockheed Martin tell ANN 30 specialists combined to provide more than 8,800 briefings to pilots at EAA Air Venture. That's an increase of over 11% from 2006. In addition, specialists filed 768 flight plans. Dan Corain, AFSS program manager, commented, quote, Oshkosh is a unique opportunity for us. The dialogue between our briefers and the flying public is educational for both. While the weather was predominantly VFR this year, we were able to provide valuable advice locally when some major storms popped up and along routes of flight across the U.S., unquote. Lockheed Martin specialists briefed pilots from the main central facility and two remote trailers located at the north and south ends of the field. Briefers were available to pilots from 6 a.m. till 8 p.m. Finally, a flight attendant who drank alcohol on the job is accused of telling a captain, "You're dead," as she was dragged from a plane Sunday at Kentucky's Bluegrass Airport. She appeared in court on Monday. Public safety officers said 26-year-old Sarah Mills smelled heavily of alcohol and admitted drinking whiskey on board the Atlantic Southeast Airlines flight when questioned Sunday afternoon. She pleaded not guilty to charges of terrorist threatening and public intoxication. Court records show a blood alcohol level of 0.032%. That's below the legal definition of intoxicated. In addition to criminal charges, Mills may face FAA action. ASA's Kate Mondolo tried to look at the bright side. Quote, fortunately, we've more than 900 flight attendants who perform their duties at an extremely high level every day, unquote. Unfortunately, none of those 900 attendants was available to cover for Mills, so the flight was canceled. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, it's the conclusion of my interview with Jake Carter Jr. of Carter Aviation Technologies. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our AeroCasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, and Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.